Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 556. And today we're on in a book, Binyan HaBayis, The Living Marriage, by Moshe Shachadowitz. And we are going to start lesson number two of his 10-lesson book. Lesson number two is called A Deeper Look at Intimacy. And there's a few chapters in here. First, he's going to talk about the foundations of intimacy. We mentioned in previous shiurim, in the Matai Voyalecha book, we're going to review it briefly over here, that there is the children of 9 negative traits, which means that a couple is forbidden to engage in intimacy if they are in the state of one of these 9 negative traits. And from the negative, we can deduce the positive. And the 9 traits are the children of, I'll translate in English right away, children of fear, children of force, children of hatred, of nidoy, of tamura. A tamura means children who came from a union which the husband was thinking about another woman, children of strife, of intoxication, of one who tends to divorce his wife, of confusion, and one who is brazen-faced. Chazal explained that the fruits of a union's couple, which means the children, are affected by its quality. When intimacy is an expression in a negative state, it will tend to produce children that will rebel against Hashem. We'll go into this in detail later. Does not mean there's no bechira. It does not mean that this tshuva doesn't help. It doesn't mean things can't be undone. But one needs to take this seriously. And it needs to be a springboard, though, not for the negativity of it, but for the positivity if the reverse takes place. So going through this, the B'nai Sinua means, as the word implied, the Ravid explains this, that even if he has no intention to divorce her, but he has hatred in his heart towards her, they should not engage in intimacy. And the reason for this is because an interaction of such is immorality. It's a bechina of znus. It's not an expression of marital relations. Ki kibbe ilas znus. The eino kibbe ilas ishus. That's the way the Ravid puts it. V'nei meriva is they fighting day and night, and it's immoral. Why? This is a fascinating lesson. Listen to this. Habiani, if they're fighting with each other, and they have resentment in their heart while they're fighting, eino ilas znus. Why is it like immorality? She'enoi mitoich ahava. Because it's not an expression of love. That's the key, as we're going to see. But a shikras, intoxication, if he's drunk or she's drunk, again, the ein ba kavanas ahava. So there's no intention of love there. So you see from the Ravid, from all these that we explained thus far, is that the only two ways for a couple to approach an intimate connection, they only have two ways. There's very little that's in between. There's almost nothing in between. Either it's an expression of the couple's love for one another, or it's a path of immorality or prostitution, which a marital relation, when it's void of the kedusha of a unifying love, and it's not an expression of love, and that is what the transgression is. Now, does that mean that a couple, as being in love with one another, want to be playful with each other and enjoy giving each other physical pleasure and doing it in a right way and even in a fun, joyful way? That's the opposite of immorality. That's kedusha. But again, that's because the love is there. The love is there, and the purpose of it is the love and the bonding. You have fun while you're at it. That's fine. But when it is without that love, and it's just to pleasure each other for your own purposes, that's immoral. That's the way the Ravid puts it. Now, there are ways of how a marriage has these types of closeness. Number one is the love they express through their daily activity, day in and day out. Which is the primary topic of Shalom Bayis. And then number two is the intimacy they share in the bedroom. Now, one could facilitate facilitate the other. Sometimes when a couple expresses love in their daily activity, it could enhance and trigger to make their intimacy in the bedroom better. Sometimes the reverse. Sometimes the intimacy that they share in the bedroom could spark a deeper love that spreads through their daily activity. Both need to be there strong, and one indeed can facilitate the other, but you need the love to always be there. A feeling of love, a mentality of love. And it's clear from the Rivets' words that you cannot separate between a couple's daily interactions, what we call outside the bedroom, daily interactions, and their intimacy. The daily relationship needs to nurture their love, their harmony. The same affection will be able to find its fullest expression in their intimacy. In the Rivets' words, the relationship of intimacy has different levels to it. One level is an inner emotional connection. Are they living with an inner connection of love? Is it love is what is that? Is that is what is empowering their relationship or not? A couple that does not have that foundation of love cannot really have intimacy, which is the greatest expression of love. So from the Rivet, it's very clear that the intimacy of the couple that's in a state of hatred is not considered marital relations at all. That's not marital relations. The next is, that's their emotional connection. Then their daily lifestyle. Are they living together in harmony or in strife? Are they always full of machlokes? Doesn't mean they can't have a disagreement. Doesn't mean that it could happen that at times they're upset at one another. That's not what it means. But even in the upsetness, there's a love and a respect. The third thing, of course, is the intimate union. Is it motivated by their love or by something external? Something external could be, I want to have kids. Something external could be lust, just lust, focusing just on that. It's okay, by the way, this is the Shiloh Lishma that leads to Lishma. We're going to talk about it. If you have that overall love in all these aspects and you want to, you have that physical desire for one another, or you want to enjoy that physical intimacy, that's fine. But it's clear that when we talked about children of intoxication, that if it's not expressing love, it is immoral, even between a married couple. You technically, on a deraisa level, over anything, technically not, if they're both consenting. But if on a drabana level, or certainly in the ruach of the Torah, in the novel B'shus HaTorah, or in the Rabbanan level, or the way the Gemara puts it, as the Chazal puts it, it is immorality even in a married couple's life. If a couple's relationship does not have these three qualities, even if one of them are missing, it's not the proper expression of marriage as far as the Torah is concerned. So we're going to go through those three levels. Again, the first level was their inner emotional connection, and then their daily lifestyle, and then their intimate union. So one level of intimacy is the relationship itself. It calls upon a couple to live together as an expression of their love and respect for each other. Love and respect, he says, will be discussed at length in lesson number 7. And we're in lesson number 2. So we'll talk about it in length in lesson number 7. And they're not doing it because of external reasons. They truly love each other. They enjoy being together. And that intimacy is based on that foundation of love. So that is the union. That is the first level, the love itself. Now, here is where he says marriage professionals, counselors go wrong. You have a couple that's on the brink of divorce, and you try to explain to them why not to get divorced. And they say, it's not customary in our circles. What's going to happen to the children? What's going to happen to the house and the possessions? The headaches you're going to have to separate a whole family. The process of divorce is very long and unpleasant. They're basically pressured and convinced to stay together. Now, there's nothing wrong. It doesn't say this here, but to point these things out as a side point, or as something to recognize, is something to take seriously, but not to the point where they're being pressured and they're being convinced to stay together because of these reasons. a counselor that feels they got kept, he kept or she, the marriage counselor, kept the couple together because of these reasons we just mentioned. They think they did a good job, but they didn't. If their main focus is just stick together, we'll just make it workable, quote unquote, so that you don't have more disasters in your head, you're creating an affair where you're basically in the concept of children of hatred. By the way, what's very, very important with all these things, children of, doesn't mean that you conceive children with this union. If, even though the Chazal described the relationship as children of hatred, as an example, that just means that if a child is conceived in this union, it's an expression of their parents' negative act. But when you live this way, or you're intimate this way, even if you don't have children, it falls into the category of children of hatred, even though there's no children that will result from that particular union. A couple that lives under the one roof like neighbors, but they don't like each other, and they're just going to swallow their discomfort for the sake of a greater need, that's B'nai Sanua. That's children of hatred. Even if they learn to live together without fighting, they avoid each other, it's still a bechina of immorality. So the marriage counselor here only succeeded to the extent of just keeping them together. But the only way a marriage counselor or Rav or a therapist or anybody who helps a couple stay together, their success is based on the ability and the willingness that the couple will have going forward to reignite their lost love and bring them back to a state of true shalom bayis. That has to be the tafkid. That has to be the tafkid. Now, he gives a note here that just says that there are situations, real life situations, that have different factors, that have different considerations. So what we're saying here, and he makes it very clear, is not pshat that this is halacha, or not pshat that it's always practical advice, but it is a hashkafa that must be strongly weighed with the bigger picture. It's not such a simple topic. But in hashkafa, if a couple is at a state where they are, you know, struggling, and they are going to marriage counseling, and they're trying to work together, it can't be just with the cheshbon, oh, let's figure out how to be roommates just till the kids, go out of the house and then we'll figure out what to do, or we'll just grin and bear it. They need to learn how to ignite that love and respect. The second level is living in harmony. It says like this, that if a couple has a firm foundation of love, then this is the next step. Even if a couple has a very strong relationship, they could still be constantly fighting. They could still live in a state of dissension. That doesn't mean that there's no love there. But it means that the couple doesn't yet have that skill or that working on their midas to have the love flourish within their daily relationships, even when there is sometimes tension or disagreements there. So Chazal also say if they're in an intimate union when a couple is in this negative state, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. You know, the idea is that Shalom Bayis should be so positive, not that there's no fights, but this is the ideal, that Al Kol Psham T'chasa Hava, that love covers everything. Even if they don't see eye to eye, it will not hold back their daily love and respect for each other. And even if there's real lax, real chesroinus, the power of love will overcome these defects and it'll allow for a life of peace. Again, we're not talking about abuse situations here whatsoever. It's a different parsha. Talking about regular flaws. Now, it's understandable, though. Couples will have disagreements. Couples will have misunderstandings. But don't think that just because a couple fights, that means there's no love. That's okay. You could fight, you could disagree, but then you come to terms with the disagreement or agree to disagree and you have that mutual love and respect, then it's fine. Then you can be intimate. You could be intimate even if you had a disagreement that day, even if it was a big disagreement that day. You could be intimate even if you were upset at each other for whatever reason during the day because of whatever happened there. But if you talk it through and you iron it out and you work it through, their inner love is there. doesn't always have to be on the high burner, right? If you're going to wait till you always feel it full force, then, you know, couples will never be intimate. If you're waiting for that perfect time, we say that in general, you don't, whatever the couple decides their schedule of intimacy should be, it should never, ever ruin or disrupt the schedule of what they want intimacy to be. So therefore, if they are decide between themselves, we're going to be intimate on a consistent basis on whatever schedule or work, well, whatever they work through together with one another, that's fine. Then they just need to make sure that the love and respect is always there. And in times where they had a harder day, where they actually did disagree or got upset at one another, to work it through before the actual intimacy takes place, to work it through, talk it through a little bit, or just, you know, that to make sure they're really fine and they love each other and they'll work it out, and then they're good, then they're fine. So this is the Yesite. So this is the first lesson of lesson two, the first part, a deeper look at the intimacy. And this is the idea behind it. The idea behind it is that there should always be a love and connection. Now, I mentioned this several times in the previous shiurim. There are times where right now a husband and wife are estranged. They go to marriage therapy or they go to a rav and they're working through things and they still feel some forms of resentment towards one another, but they're trying to work it out. Sometimes a rav or a mentor, I'll be tired, will say as part of their healing process, besides the day-to-day activity of talking to each other with more respect, not raising their voice, whatever it is, they'll also give advice to try to be intimate and try to handle intimacy. Now, under normal circumstances, if you have in mind to divorce or if there's some resentment, then you shouldn't have marital intimacy. But in some situations where they both went to therapy, where they're both deciding, we feel this way right now, but we want to work this out. We want to try. We're willing to try. Even if one of the parties is somewhat reluctant now, but they really want to try, then sometimes the Rabbanim and the mentors will say, under these circumstances, you could work it through. But overall, as a criteria in marriage, the love and respect needs to be there all along. Bracha v'atzlacha.